In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen. The women had seen Jesus raised from the dead. They had run and told the men this message. But there was a stipulation. If the men wanted to see Jesus raised from the dead, they were going to have to follow. Jesus said, and the messenger at the tomb had said, Jesus is going ahead of you. Going ahead of you back into Galilee, back where the journey started. So go back to the beginning of the journey. Follow me back there, and you will see me raised from the dead. So the 11 who were left, the 11 apostles, Judas had bailed. The 11 remaining apostles obey. They don't get to see Jesus raised from the dead in Jerusalem. They have to follow. So back to Galilee they go, back to the beginning of the journey, back to the beginning of the story. And there when they get to Galilee, after they have followed, after they have obeyed, there they see Jesus raised from the dead. And Jesus speaks with them and tells them, look, all authority, all the power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I am Lord of all. And I give you a task. Go from this place. Go out into the world, into all nations, and make disciples. Do this by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. I will be with you always, to the very end of this evil age that is hanging on. I will be with you. And Jesus departs. Disciples. That's the focus. Jesus' focus at the end of the gospel journey that we've been on for months. It all started with Joseph deciding not to have Mary stoned. And along this journey, we find Jesus at the end saying he has all authority of heaven and earth, and he's giving his disciples a singular task: make disciples. Let's pause and reflect on that word a little bit. Disciple. It comes from our English word, discipline. But really, a more accessible translation would just be a simple word like student. But maybe even better than student, apprentice. An apprentice, unlike a student, sometimes we think of students just sort of going to classrooms, sitting in a sterile classroom, and then going home and maybe having some homework. But apprentices, they go out in the field, don't they? They go alongside their mentors. And they watch their mentor work. And then they do the work of their mentor, right alongside their mentor. And they work with their mentor for years, practicing right alongside their mentors, one day hoping that they will become a master like their student, or like their master themselves, that they, the students, will become like their master. And Jesus himself told the disciples this in Matthew chapter 10. Remember way back. He said, every good student becomes like his teacher. So when Jesus sends out his students, his apprentices, his disciples into the world and says, make disciples, make apprentices of the world, his purpose is, I want you to train people in the world to be like me. Jesus wants his disciples to go into the world and make little Jesuses throughout the world. And in fact, the term that we use to identify ourselves, Christian, literally means little Christ. But Jesus says there's really two things involved in this process of how do you make apprentices. The first, he says, baptize into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. We probably think we know what that means, but there's also some rich dimensions that we probably aren't thinking. Baptism isn't something that simply happens as a ritual at the font or in a river. Baptism literally means immersion. But immersion into what? Into a name? For us as modern listeners, that doesn't really make very much sense. But a name in the ancient world represented the essence, the life, the very heart of who somebody is. So when you think of somebody that you know, and you may say, oh, George, I know George. You think of the name, but it's not just a name, right? It comes with all the stories of who George is. How you've gone fishing with George, or that one birthday party that you had with George that you remember so fondly. The way that George came through for you when your family was really down and out. The name George is so much more. It represents the whole character, the person of George. So when Jesus says, go out and baptize into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's saying, immerse people in the stories and the life of God himself. The Father who created all things. The Son, Jesus, who came and walked among you and taught you how to live. And the Spirit that now dwells within your body. That the first task, baptism, is not just a ritual. It's an immersion into the character and person of God. That we would get to know God so well that his name elicits profound things within us. And that we would learn his character, learn his stories, and that they would shape us to our very core. And then the second piece Jesus tells the disciples, teaching. Teaching them, traditional translations say, obey, which isn't bad, obey everything that I have commanded. But that obey word is also a lot more rich than just simply obey. We think of in our context, to obey, you can do it very begrudgingly. Oh, I'll obey, but I don't like it. But the word there in the Greek is a word that means to treasure. So Jesus says, teach them to treasure everything that I've commanded. And that includes obedience. But it's to see Jesus' words, his commands, as the greatest treasure there is. Think back to Jesus' own teaching, Matthew 13. Remember where he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who discovers a treasure in a field. And when he realizes the worth of that treasure, he sells everything he has to have that treasure. Jesus is saying, teach people to treasure the word and command of Jesus. Treasure it more than anything in the whole world. That more than money, more than our jobs, more than our own family, that we would treasure and keep and guard with our very lives the word of Jesus. So Jesus tells the disciples to go and do this. To make disciples, students and apprentices of all nations. And we as the Christian church have often been very emphatic about this mission, as we should be. But I want to actually pause and maybe ask the question, have we sometimes put the cart before the horse? Do sometimes we get emphatic about going out into the world to make disciples when we haven't paused to first make disciples of ourselves? For as Jesus says in one of his teachings, how can a blind person lead another blind person? He says, if you're blinded by the board in your own eye, how can you help someone with their problems? You can't. You're blind by the board in your eye. So Jesus says, get that blind spot, that board out of your eye, and then, and only then, will you be able to help your neighbor. So the big prerequisite for us going out into the world, into the nations, making disciples, students and apprentices of Jesus, is that we first need to be faithful disciples ourselves. Now, certainly not perfect disciples, and Jesus is never talking about any sort of idea of perfection, but faithful disciples, that we need to be good students first before we can show others how to be good students of Jesus. So let's reflect this morning, what kind of students, disciples, and apprentices of Jesus are we? Are we at the point in our own walk that we're ready to go out and teach people and say, come alongside me and we'll learn to follow Jesus? Or maybe we need to do some hard studenting, some hard apprenticing ourselves first. Let's think to the two things again that Jesus says makes disciples. Baptism, again, not just a ritual. Immersion into the story of God. When I think of immersion, I think of people who go live in another country trying to learn a language. I've tried to learn a little bit of Spanish from time to time, but it's hard to learn a language, especially when you're a little bit older, when you're not immersed in it. And right now, we, Julie and I, get to see the experience of Yeshua being immersed in an English-speaking world. And he's been immersed in it for 6 months, but he's still, his head is spinning. He hasn't picked up on the language yet. If we are going to learn God and God's stories, his life and character, we need to be immersed in it. Like going to a Spanish-speaking country and immersing yourself, no English speakers to help you, just being thrown into the context, into the deep end, and having to find a bathroom, having to find your everyday food, you will pick up the language so much quicker when you are immersed in the deep end. And that's what Jesus says, that we ourselves, if we're going to be students of Jesus, we need to be immersed, baptized, thrown into the story of God. We just need to be saturated and dipped in God's story, where God's story is just flooding us, all around us. Where we, everywhere we look, God is there. Think of what Moses taught the people in Deuteronomy. He said, when he gave them the commands of God, he said, wear the commands of God on your foreheads. So they're dangling in front of your eyes everywhere you go. Write them on the doorposts of your house, so every time you walk in your house, you see it. Talk to them, talk about these commands to your children when you're walking on the road, when you're just sitting down and relaxing, and when you're transitioning. Immerse yourselves in the commands of God, in his stories. Be immersed, because that's the only way to learn a new language. And frankly, the language of God, the stories of God, are a new language for us to learn. That we learn God's character and his heart, and that's a hard language. Our world doesn't speak God's language. We need to be immersed in his stories, his way of thinking. That is the first task of being a disciple. And then the second is treasuring the commands of God, treasuring them so that we put them into practice. If I want to be an apprentice of a carpenter, I am going to have to practice swinging a hammer. I can't just watch the carpenter swing the hammer and then expect to be a master carpenter. I will hit my thumb with the hammer. I will align the boards. I'll cut them wrong. I have to practice cutting. I have to practice swinging the hammer. And so Jesus says, we must treasure and obey his commands. Everything he commanded. There's not a single command. If I am a student of a carpenter, I can't leave out details that I think are unimportant. They will come back to haunt the houses that I build. Everything that Jesus teaches, every detail is important to this house he is having us construct in our lives. Don't omit any detail of what Jesus teaches. Treasure all of it. Be a detail-oriented student who treasures and practices every command. Practice swinging the hammer. Practice making those cuts. Practice putting the house of Jesus' commands together. Disciples, students, apprentices. Jesus wants us to have a beautiful and powerful impact on our city and our world by helping shape people into the image of Jesus. Imagine how beautiful our city could be if there were more people who thought like Jesus, who acted like Jesus, who responded like Jesus to all of the craziness that often goes on. But Jesus wants us to start here with ourselves first. Let's be challenged this Easter season to be good students. Let's immerse ourselves in God's life, in His stories, in His Word. Let's treasure every command that God gives us, knowing that is essential for our life together. And as we become students of Jesus, never perfect students, but as we become faithful students, immersed in the life of Jesus, then let's go out into our neighborhood, into our city, encountering people that may not be like us at all, and say, join our family. Let's walk together. Let's be learners together. Let's practice the way of Jesus. Let's be apprentices together, because we believe that the new hope, the new life of Easter season comes to us as we put the word of Jesus into practice in our lives, in this neighborhood, and in this city. Let's watch the new life of Easter blossom in our community, in our neighborhood, and in our city. And that starts with being diligent, faithful students, apprentices of what Jesus has showed us with His life and words. Amen.